Yes.
Hello?
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 Hold on, he's gonna take the link up on my hand. I can't even come back.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
I hope this is an address.
Is this the one that was violated?
Thank you. Okay, come in.
Okay, sir, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please?
This is Robert Batista, 060090.
Okay, Mr. Batista, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. We've been authorized by a chair to have a two-member panel to conduct the hearings today, sir. Today, with us is the Honorable David Neal and myself, Michael Johnson. I'm going to be your panel chair this morning, sir. Also with us in the room today, sir, although you cannot see him, is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole officer, sir. So prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of your hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
At the county jail, yes.
Okay. I don't know if it was at the county jail, but it was a form, sir, that you signed that notified you that you were going to have this hearing here today.
The parole officer came to see me in county and signed the form, but he didn't tell me that I won't see a court board until after the county is done with me.
Okay, so it actually shows that you signed the form on October 12th of this year, sir. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I didn't have no exact time when I was going to see that. He just told me that.
Okay.
Because I asked him, I said, when am I going to see the board? He said, well, it's up to whenever you're done with the county, whatever the county does. And it's okay, so I'll
just
wait for that.
All right, sir, on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm just going to give up myself.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I need to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear, you along with Mr. Osborne, I need to swear both of you in. Sir, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Sir, I do, and I'd also like to note that he has received a new felony charge for 2 years for possession of dangerous drugs, and he's a lifetime parolee.
Okay. So, Mr. Batista, you have two allegations listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read those allegations to you. I need you to state whether the allegations are either true or false, or you can also take the fifth, sir. I see that there is a DR number attached to it, okay?
Okay,
the first allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your possession of illegal substance on or about June 24, 2016 in Pinal County. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, sir. Your next allegation states you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your possession of materials used in the packaging of illegal substance on or about June 24, 2016 in Pinal County. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay, so based on the admission of Mr. Batista, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. I do the second.
Second.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Batista, we're going to go into phase 2 of your hearing, sir. During phase 2, the board will determine whether you have violated your community supervision, and they will make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir.
Can I have a chance to make a statement?
Yes, sir. During this phase, we're going to give you that opportunity to make a statement during phase 2, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. We're going to start out phase 2, sir. We're going to get some information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne.
My parole officer was Claude Wood, by the Pinal County.
Yes, sir, but Mr. Osborne is here. He's representing the Department of Corrections, and he's representing your parole officer.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to get some additional information from Mr. Osborne.
Okay. He wasn't the guy I was seeing every 2 weeks.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair. I'd also like, because of the new felony, usually it's just phase one that would be gone through, and phase two would be needed because he was sentenced to 2 years. But would you like me to go ahead and read the summary sheet, sir?
I can't hear him.
So what he's saying is that usually if we go into phase two, we just go ahead and do phase one because you have been sentenced to 2 years on a dangerous drug charge that you've been sentenced to. So, you know, those terms and conditions of your community supervision already have been violated, sir. But you wanted an opportunity to make a statement, so I'm going to go ahead and go through this so that I'll give you an opportunity to go ahead and speak, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Bautista was released from DOC custody on August 18th of 2014. He was arrested on October 11th of 2016 by the Ak Chin Police Department for felony dangerous drug violation and was returned back to our custody on March 21st of 2017 with 0 scon days with a community supervision end date. Of course, it's lifetime parole, so there is no end date. Current conviction, 2017, dangerous drug violation, 2 years. Prior convictions, 1986, burglary, first degree, 7 years. 1986, armed robbery, life term. 1986, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. And 1986, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is SCG and gang information noted. He is a validated Warrior Society member. He has a significant disciplinary history with threats to staff, fighting, extortion, indecent exposure, possession of manufacturing weapons, and possession of narcotics noted. He has a community risk score of G5B6, and he has received a new felony charge as of March 13th of 2017. He's received 2 years for a dangerous drug violation.
Okay, Mr. Bautista, what did you want to have to say to the board, sir?
Excuse me? Oh, okay. Yes, I did get arrested, and it is true what Mr. Osmond was saying about my prison record. But I have to realize I haven't had any kind of a disciplinary violation since around 2000. And I was released in 2014, so that's over 10 years I've been disciplinary free.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the drinking alcohol, that happened when I was in my 20s. I'm not even in my 30s, 40s, and I'm at the end years of my 50s. I'm only going to be 50 here pretty soon. I've been incarcerated for close to almost 30 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, yes, I was arrested, and I did explain to the parole officer when I did receive police contact, and I told him, I said, okay, when I did, I was out there, I did everything on my parole that I was required to do on my drug testing, on my drug alcohol program, and I finished it, and I did, that's why they took the GPS on me, and I started working, but when I got my job, my mind was into everything, and one of my drivers was integration into society,
mm-hmm.
to become a member of society again, which was very helpful for me because they told me how to communicate with people, and they told me I would always have this issue about being incarcerated because I've been incarcerated so long, and they told me to overcome my feelings and my thoughts because I wasn't in prison no more. And the only way to do that was to communicate with people and try to learn to make friends and not look at them any other way as just regular people, because I wasn't in prison anymore, which was a new dynamic for me because I was unfamiliar about the whole concept of communicating with people in just a friendly manner. And they told me to work on that daily. The classes helped me significantly on that part. And I also started going to AA, And my last step on my pro list of items to do was to find a job, which I did do. And which the poor boy allowed me to by taking off GPS, because I had to go to work like 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd get off. And I had to grab the bus for work. But apparently my body's too old and I started getting all these physical ailments. I have diabetes now. I have, and during my job, my body just couldn't handle the labor. It was enough, and I got severe arthritis now on my left arm, which I had to quit my job. So I started going to the hospital, and I gave all of my medical documents to my parole officer. I went to a bone specialist, and they did MRI on my left shoulder, and I guess it's pretty common once you reach a certain age or whatever, if you have it manifests itself. So I got severe arthritis in my left shoulder. And I went to a surgeon, and they determined that my tendons are swollen on that left shoulder, and the skin came off the ball on my socket, and it's just hanging down. And all this, the gravity pushed down on my arm, and my left bicep got dislocated. It's all, my whole left arm is pretty much a mess. And the surgeon told me, you need to soak it up and clear out the arthritis in your shoulder. And I said, well, I'm supposed to work. Every person I went to, I told them I'm on parole. I need to do this, I need to do that. So they said, okay, we'll work with you. But then he told me, if you continue working, you can't work no more. You're pretty much disabled now because your left arm, if you start really, your bones will become brittle now because of your age and severity of arthritis. So now I'm in the process of having the surgery done. And I'm more likely to have to sign up for disability now, because in here, I asked the doctors, I need to have this fixed. My left arm is pretty useless right now.
Uh-huh.
And they told me they couldn't do it because I didn't have enough time. And I can get it done when I get out. I mean, this is one of the main issues I'm concerned about, is this health. Because I can't even make a fist with his arm. I make a fist, but I can't close anything. And if I try to move it around too much, I just get this numbing pain all up and down my arm.
Okay.
My left arm, and anyway, that's the medical issues.
Okay.
Both my diabetes, I take insulin and medication. And on discharge, most of my time told me to interact with people on a daily basis, even though it's uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I had met this person from the reservation over there, and she was a beautiful woman, and I was used to talking to females. I had been around for close to 30 years, but I was just caught up in the moment, and she's a beautiful young lady, and she asked me to take her home. So I said, all right, I'll give you a ride home, because I just purchased, put a down payment on the truck. I only had 2 days, so I was kind of pretty impressed. And so I got my truck, nice truck here, and I took him home. We're in French. And I wasn't really familiar with who she was, but I was just intrigued that the young woman wanted to talk to me, and I was talking to her, and we were having a conversation. And when I went to her house, I guess they were selling drugs there. I didn't realize this. And there was policemen right there, but they didn't tell me it was a drug house.
Uh-huh.
And there were undercover agents walking up to the house when I was there. I didn't know that. And nobody, I didn't know what was going on, because I just met this woman and her friends. And as soon as I left, they pulled me over and said, hey, you were at this house. I said, yeah, I was there. And they were trying to tell her name, and I said, I can't remember. And I told them, I'm on parole, you know, this beautiful woman. And they said, well, we're in surgery. I said, it's fine, go ahead, I'm on parole. I can do whatever you want to do. I'm okay. And big support of the death. I wasn't drunk or intoxicated or anything. This is in the police report from the reservation up to the police station. So they took my truck, and they had one of the extended cab trucks that I purchased. And
okay,
they were sitting in the back seat, and they found the drugs in the back area where that girl was at. And when they arrested me, I was like, oh man. And, I didn't understand what was going on until they came out later on, because they were trying to tell me, where is this house at? I said, over there, I'll show you. And take me over there, but they didn't want to take me. They said, what was the person's name? What's her name? and I couldn't remember her name, because I had just met her, and I didn't know what was going on until it was all in the police report that they were sitting right there watching that, that there was a known drug house, and the undercovers had come up there, and it's in the police report, and, but they didn't tell me it was a drug house. I didn't know it was a drug house. I just met this woman, and I didn't know her, I couldn't remember her name, and I told her.
Mr. Batista?
I've got nothing to do with this.
Sir?
But I do take responsibility for the fact that that is my vehicle, and that person left it in there, and it frustrated me, but I said, okay, I was stupid, and I realize now I can't just be friends with everybody, because I don't know what people are doing out there. Like, you know,
Mr. Batista?
I guess there's a line you have to realize if these situations could happen.
Mr. Batista? Sir?
Yes.
Okay. I do understand that, and it do sound as though from listening to you that you did a long period of time where you were doing very well and just perhaps got hooked up with the wrong people. However, because...
Yeah, I take responsibility.
Okay, sir, but let me...
It's my truck.
Yes,
sir. Whatever's in that truck is my responsibility. And
okay.
I realize that. I understand
so,
that.
So, but, sir, this... we're not...
Totally not.
We're not. We can't... try you or relook at that. We're here simply in this phase of what we're doing in phase two is determine whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated, sir. And because you did and you have been sentenced to 2 years for possession of dangerous drugs, sir, that is a violation of your community supervision, sir. So that's what we're here for. I do understand, the issue and what you're explaining to me, but I did want to give you an opportunity to talk because you said you wanted an opportunity to explain yourself. However, because you have a 2-year sentence that's tacked on to your current sentence that you have now, sir, then you have violated your community supervision. And
what do you say? 2 year sentence?
Since that you
received, you have 8 months to your current sentence.
You have 2 years for the possession of dangerous drug. You were sentenced to 2 years
I understand that part.
For the possession of dangerous drug on March 13, 2017. So,
yeah,
sir,
I understand that. What do you think? That doesn't mean my other sentence.
Well, you're on a lifetime parole, sir, so that's bad.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I've always understood I'm on lifetime parole till 2099. I've always understood that.
Okay, so Mr. Batista.
So I always try to, that I always went to the parole board every 2 weeks.
Okay, so sir,
again,
because.
I understand. That's why I always.
Okay,
I locked myself and did everything I was supposed to do on my parole sheet.
Okay, well, since you have that 2-year sentence that did violate the terms and conditions of your community supervision, sir?
Yeah, I understand that.
So?
It's a normal situation because I didn't do nothing, but I'm still, I knew I violated because it was in my possession, my truck.
Well, sir, that's true that you have that condition. We weren't part of the actual trial, but as far as your community supervision, sir, it goes, you did violate the terms and conditions of your community supervision by having that arrest and having a sentence of 2 years, sir. So the board is going to revoke your community supervision, sir, and then you'll have an opportunity to come back once you finish the time that you actually are serving for your 2 years on your...
I don't know what it is because I've been trying to find out what the date is on your end date.
Okay, I don't know what that end date would actually... Mr. Batista, I don't know what that end date would actually be. However, if you work with your CO3 there at the institution, your CO3 can work with...
I've been trying because I came back to VOC in February of this year with 5 months that time on 85%.
So, Mr. Batista, what I'm trying to explain to you, sir, this is, we're here simply to talk about your community supervision that you are out on and whether to revoke or to reinstate you on your community supervision. How much time you have left or what your time comp's going to be on the 2-year sentence that you actually have, sir, it's going to be up to the Department of Corrections, and you're going to have to work that out, which is CO3, sir, at the prison. Mm-hmm. We can't help
you. Well, I've been asking the CO3, and they tell me they don't have it. It's up to central office, and I can't get a date on my end date because I've been here since February.
Okay, and sir, we can't help you with that. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move on with your revocation hearing. So I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Baptista, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses, about to lapse in the criminal ways, or accompanied by being arrested and being recharged on a new felony for possession of dangerous drugs.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Baptista, your community supervision, sir, has been revoked. You're going to have to work with your CO3 as well as the Department of Corrections.
He doesn't have it, and he doesn't know where to get it.
Okay, well, we're not going to be able to. You're going to have to work with your CO3. They're going to have to work with Time Comp in order to come up when that time would actually
be.
Okay, hold on 1 minute, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Baptista, just write Time Comp with an inmate letter. Let them know it's for your new sentence you just received.
I did tell them when I was arrested, when I was sentenced, how much bed time I had and how much the sentence was, and they said they don't have it.
They don't have it.
Okay, Mr. Baptista, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. You're going to have to work with your CO3 or your CO4 or do, as the parole officer says, write a letter to. Listen to me, sir.
If they don't have an end date, then how am I going to go in front of the board?
Well, sir, they're going to, between Time Comp and Department of Correction, they're going to have to come up with that. So the recommendation is to, if you didn't get the information from your CO3, to go through your CO4, write an inmate letter to Time Comp, and tell Time Comp that you're requesting the time confirmation.
They just say we don't have it.
Did you tell them that it's referenced your new charge, sir?
Yes, I told them I got arrested. I came to DOC, back to DOC, and they just said we don't have it. They haven't forwarded us
Okay, you're going to have to continue to work with them, sir. I wish there was something that we could do to assist you. However, you know, we can't assist you here. We're only here for your parole revocation hearing, sir.
Okay, so let's say you just get the CO4?
Yes, sir.
And they'll have a date?
I can't tell you. The date has to come from Time Comp and Department of Corrections, sir. So you have to work with them. They actually are the ones who do it, and then they send us the information when you become eligible, and then we place you on the agenda to have a parole hearing, sir. So it has to be done through Department of Corrections, your CO3, your CO4, and Time Comp in order to get a hearing date. I can't tell you when that date will be, but you're gonna have to continue to work with them, sir, in order to get a date. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. So I do appreciate you taking the opportunity and time to come down and appear before the board, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Are you going to talk to the counselor?
Yes, sir.
Okay.